content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Erica McCarty for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Restaurant Review. For the next half hour, I will be sharing information compiled from various blogs and websites, including 10best.com, Triangle Food Blog, WRAL Today, Eat Raleigh Blog, Triangle Business Journal, Eater North Carolina, VisitRaleigh.com, and Wikipedia.com. Today's conversation on comforting culinary cuisine is on chocolate. According to Wikipedia, the history of chocolate began in Mesoamerica. Fermented beverages made from chocolate dates back to at least 1900 BC to 1500 BC. The Mexica believed that cacao seeds were the gift of the god of wisdom, and the seeds once had so much value that they were used as a form of currency. Originally prepared only as a drink, chocolate was served as a bitter liquid, mixed with spices or corn puree. It was believed to be an aphrodisiac and to give the drinker strength. Today, such drinks are also known as chilate and are made by locals in the south of Mexico and the northern triangle of Central America, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras. After its arrival to Europe in the 16th century, sugar was added to it, and it became popular throughout society, first among the ruling classes and then among the common people. And in the 20th century, chocolate was considered essential in the rations of the United States soldiers during war. The word chocolate comes from the classical Nahuatl word chocolatl, or zocolatl. I've heard it both ways. And it means bitter, zoco, water, and atl. Atl means bitter, and entered the English language via the Spanish chocolate. But cultivation, consumption, and cultural use of cacao were extensive in Mesoamerica, where the cacao tree is a native. When pollinated, the seeds of the cacao tree eventually forms a kind of sheath or ear, averaging 20 inches long, hanging from the trunk of the tree itself. Within the sheath are 30 to 40 brownish-red almond-shaped beans embedded in a sweet, viscous pulp. While the beans themselves are bitter due to the alkaloids within them, the sweet pulp may have been the first element consumed by humans. Cacao pods grow in a wide range of colors, from pale yellow to bright green, and all the way to dark purple and crimson. But the skin can also vary greatly, and some are sculpted with craters or warts, while others are completely smooth. This wide range and type of pods is unique to cacaos in their color and texture, but it does not necessarily determine the ripeness or taste of the bean inside. Evidence suggests that it may have been fermented and served as an alcoholic beverage as early as 1400 BC. Cultivation of the cacao was not an easy process. Part of this was because cacao trees in their natural environment grow to 60 feet tall or more. When the trees were grown on a plantation, however, they only grew to around 20 feet tall. There's so much more to learn about chocolate, but this is just a snippet of the information available on chocolate from the Wikipedia.com website. If you're interested in learning more about the history and origins of cocoa or cacao and its uses not only in the U.S. but in Europe as well, head on over to Wikipedia website, look up chocolate, and get more information on this. Which brings me to our restaurant spotlight for this month. And actually, I'm spotlighting two businesses. While the first one is not a restaurant per se, but a chocolate shop, Videri Chocolate Factory, Chocolate Bean de Bar, was voted as number 9 in the top 10 chocolate shops in the country by USA Today's 10 Best Reader's Choice Awards. While North Carolina can boast for both number 9 and number 10, with number 10 being the French Broad Chocolate Shop in Asheville, North Carolina, our local Videri Chocolate Factory is located at 327 West Davy Street in Raleigh. The Videri Chocolate Factory was started by a group of friendly folks who wanted to create wonderful chocolate from bean to bar every day. They are cozy downtown chocolate factory that scrumptiously sources every ingredient to ensure a high-quality, responsible chocolate. They are hoping to change the face of fine, handcrafted artisan chocolate by being a welcoming chocolate factory that makes people feel happy and at home. Fideri's doors are open to everyone and anyone curious about the process and taste of handmade chocolates. They believe the factory should be the happiest and most exciting experience possible. People who walk in their doors love the experience of chocolate and actively seek to understand the source and quality of goods they purchase. Fideri does not use fillers such as soy, lecithin, xanthan gum, emulsifiers, or artificial flavorings. Only the finest cocoa beans, cocoa butter, and organic cane sugar make it into their bars. All ingredients are thoughtfully procured using sustainable purchasing standards. Fideri's facility is an allergy-friendly facility. Chocolates are free from all known tree nuts and many common legumes, including peanuts, as well as soy, gluten, and egg products. They also offer many vegan options. So in summary, they're a nut-free, peanut-free, gluten-free, soy-free, egg-free, and source organic and transparent trade ingredients. This artisan chocolatier has their factory open to the public for tours that can be either guided with a paid advanced booking or self-guided for learning about their chocolate-making process. The factory sells their signature chocolate bars and single-origin bars and bonbons, and it also has frozen drinks and milkshakes. Soft-serve ice cream can be topped with house-made sauces and toppings. So head on over to Fideri and congratulate them on being one of the top 10 chocolate shops in the country. Our second spotlight today is on Eskazu Chocolates. They're located at 936 North Blount Street in Raleigh. And while this didn't make the top 10 in the country list, Raleigh can still boast to have another fabulous chocolate factory with locally made, carefully crafted chocolate with curated cacao beans from Latin America, which are then processed into dark chocolate bars, confections, ice cream, and drinks at their chocolate factory right in downtown Raleigh. Eskazu is co-owned and operated by Danielle Centeno and Tiana Young. Danielle co-founded Eskazu with her extensive culinary background and training, Venezuelan heritage, and curiosity about bean-to-bar chocolate making. Eskazu began during the beginning of a bean-to-bar chocolate movement in the U.S. and has continued to be informed by her palate, her intuition, and her knowledge of process and ingredients. Tiana discovered Eskazu first as a college student, interested in entrepreneurship, and she was enamored with food. So the two together and her patronage to the shop evolved into a part-time job and then a full-time job, then part ownership. Together, they lead a small, diverse team of chocolate makers, some of whom have also led careers in food, but many of whom come from academic or creative backgrounds that have become attached to chocolate making themselves through Eskazu. In the front of the chocolate factory is their retail shop where they provide an immersive chocolate experience. And here you'll find the broadest selection of chocolate offerings, as well as goods they've sourced from other local and women-owned makers. If you're not able to make it to the shop itself, or if you'd like to ship their chocolate to someone else as a gift, you can shop for almost all of their offerings on their online store at www.eskazuchocolates.com. That's E-S-C-A-Z-U, eskazuchocolates.com. And if you can't make it to downtown Raleigh for either of these wonderful chocolate factories or factory experiences, there are other chocolate shops around the area. Here are just a few. Azurelise, A-Z-U-R-E-L-I-S-E, Azurelise Chocolate Company at 702 North Boylan Avenue. And according to the senior food editor at the Raleigh News and Observer, these are not your typical prettified confections. They are truffles for the purest, unadorned squares of chocolate that let their flavor do the talking. Yummy. The Chocolate Boutique, located at 8480 Honeycutt Road in Lafayette Village, owned by a Raleigh-based couple who had a desire to combine their entrepreneurial spirit with their favorite things. Growing up near Hershey, Pennsylvania, they always had a deep love for all things chocolate. They are passionate about providing the community with a chocolate experience to be remembered. From handmade chocolates to chocolate-making parties and wine tastings, there is something for everyone of every age to enjoy. And the Chocolate Boutique has grown to become an integral part of the local community by partnering with area organizations and businesses through donations, education, and mentoring future entrepreneurs. And one more to round out our few is the Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory. This is an international franchise that has three locations around us, Raleigh, Cary, and Durham. And their products include many varieties of clusters, caramels, creams, meltaways, truffles, molded chocolates. Each individual store prepares a variety of caramel and candy, apples, fudge, chocolate items, and confections in full view of the customer using traditional cooking utensils such as copper kettles on gas-fired stoves and a marble slab cooling table. You can find Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory in Raleigh at 8521 Briar Creek Parkway in Cary, at 302 Colonnades Way, and in Durham, 6911 Fayetteville Road. Well, Raleigh's done it again. Last month, July, we added another two restaurants to the hottest restaurants in the Triangle for 2023 list. The first one is Madre. Madre takes diners on a tour of the Mediterranean via small plates with a focus on flavors from Spain, Portugal, Italy, France, and more. And there's pan con tomate, boquerones, salmon crudo, and Calabrian chicken. A whole grilled branzino is meant to share, and the food is complemented by an inventive cocktail list, as well as draft beer and plenty of wine. Opt for seating indoors in the sleek and clubby interior, or dine al fresco on a patio ringed with greenery. Madre's is located at 518 Northwest Street in Raleigh. And the second addition to our favorite list is The Hippo. Raleigh's newest wine bar has opened in the heart of downtown. The Hippo features an eclectic list of low-intervention estate and natural wines, some on the familiar side and some a little more out there. For example, a recent bottle offering was the 2022 Technicolor Confirmant from California Little Trouble Wine Company. It's not quite a rosé, not quite a white wine, and not quite an orange wine, but it's definitely got character all its own. That is the style of wine being poured at the Hippo, where customers can enjoy a glass or a bottle in the store or purchase one to take home. The Hippo is located at 123 East Martin Street in Raleigh. We have lots of restaurant news around the Triangle to catch up on today. The Triangle Business Journal shared that Collected Hospitality of Charleston, South Carolina, is planning a new restaurant at the Streets of South Point Shopping Mall in Durham. The location will be under the group's CO brand, serving Southeast Asian cuisine. The Triangle is already home to a CO restaurant located in Raleigh's North Hill Shopping Mall, and CO will fill the former Zinn Burger space, which was there in the Main Street Outdoor Plaza, the mall. Incendiary Brewing is bringing its craft beer to Raleigh's Block 83. Later this year, they should be coming in. The downtown tap room will offer specialty IPAs along with other craft brews and a private patio. Incendiary estimates a late summer or early fall opening. Blackbird Books and Coffee just celebrated their grand opening on July 21st. And they're located in Raleigh City Market. They are open from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Mike Montgomery, who's the owner of Abbey Road Tavern and Grill over in Cary and Apex, will be opening a new restaurant, the Dugout Tavern and Grill, in the form of Glory Days Grill location in the public shopping center, or in the former Glory Days Grill location in the public shopping center at 1413 Kelly Road in Apex. He plans to open in early August, or I guess it's early August now, so any day they should be opening. And they're going to rebrand and have a light remodel. All right. Well, good luck to them. Also in Apex, Sweetwater Town Center Development at 2775 Corbank Street has indicated they have more tenants that have signed on Mama Bird's Ice Cream, Mi Cancun Mexican Cantina, and Sobol. In addition, an Indian restaurant will be filling a 5,000 square foot space, but the name of that concept is not yet announced. They are joining the previously announced food and beverage lineup of Southern Peak Brewery, Fratelli's Deli, and Sushiyaki. The retail portion of this construction will be completed in the first quarter of 2024. And as most of you probably know, the Mediterranean Deli in Chapel Hill suffered a devastating fire. Was it last week or the week before? And in the aftermath, an extremely successful GoFundMe effort was put into place to support the employees in the interim. Med Deli has also secured a kitchen space that will allow them to continue fulfilling their catering business as of July 31st. And we wish them luck as they continue to rebuild. A new Mexican restaurant is coming to Durham, Fiesta Time Mexican Restaurant Bar and Grill. They should be opening this month at 1063 East Broad Street. Flying Bull Beer Company will open a second tap room at 300 Morris Street in Durham Innovation District by the 321 Coffee that recently opened in the same building. And it looks like Pad Thai Restaurant over there on Guest Road in Durham will soon become La Casita Restaurant, serving up Dominican and Latin cuisine. No word on the exact timeline on that one yet. We'll keep you posted. A new concept called Castellon, I think I said that right, serving up pizza, pasta, and more, will be moving into the former Big C Waffle spot at 2110 Ellendown Drive, Durham. No word on the exact opening date yet. Also in Durham, Zinch House, a winery and brewery and event space, will soon be adding a whiskey bourbon cigar bar. And after just 4 years, Pizzeria Veritas owners, Mike Martin and Steve Gill, are no longer affiliated with the Pizzeria Veritas name or product in Cary. They have sold the shop, and they will be opening a new shop in Washington, North Carolina later this year. We wish them luck on that new endeavor. Wayback Burgers is now open, located at 1550 Aviation Parkway, Morrisville, out by the airport in the new RDU Galleria building. Let's see. Oh, it's official. Jake and Shannon Wolf and their team over at the Capital Club 16, they've started rolling around town in their new food truck. It's called the Wandering Wolf. Capital Club 16 is a traditional American restaurant with the German influence. You will find their truck at local breweries, and they are available for private and corporate events. And we have one closing to mention. They were founded in 2004. Saint-Jacques French Cuisine in North Raleigh has closed their doors for good this past July. We will miss them. We do have a few ratings for the month of July. There were over 100 random inspections as usual, and majority of these had a grade of A. So we're still doing really, really well with our restaurants. Four had a grade of B, and nobody had a grade of C or worse. So this is really good. The four that got a grade of B were Cafe Sage at the Holiday Inn in Cary. They were inspected on July 24th, and they received a score of 88.5 with violations including, but not limited to, soiled ice machine, food kept at improper temperatures, and employees not washing their hands properly. And Frida's Patio Mexican Cuisine, located at 3470 Kildare Farm Road in Cary, was inspected on July 18th, and received a score of 83, which included violations of foods kept at improper temperatures and food stored improperly. The K-Pot Korean Barbecue and Hot Pot, located at 3105 Capitol Boulevard, Raleigh, was inspected on July 18th, and they received a score of 87.5. They had some violations, including improperly stored foods in the cooler, foods kept at improper temperatures, and unsanitary hand-washing stations. Wingtop, I think this is the fourth one, Wingtop, located at 51 Cabela Drive in Garner, was inspected on July 28th, and they received a grade or a score of 86.5. They were cited for items including food residue on washed cookware, improper food storage temperatures, and improper hand washing of an employee during the inspection. And that was it. So next we've got, food events. Go grab your calendars. Coming up in August this month, we've got A Taste of Old Becoming New, Cider and Mead. The North Carolina Museum of Art and Catering Works are partnering with NC Wine for a delicious and thoughtful pairing of beverages, tasty bites, and art. What's the buzz about cider and mead? Come find out on August 17th and learn more about the NCMA's paired works of art while sipping local North Carolina cider and mead. This event will be held in the West Building from 6:30 p.m. through 8:30 p.m. Tastings begin at 6:30 p.m. Over 10 different makers of multiple tasting stations will be featured. Docent-led tours connect art to the historic libations and are scheduled at 6:45 and 7:30 and 7:45 p.m. Please arrive around 6:30 p.m. in order to enjoy the whole event. And then on August 24th, the North Carolina Museum of Art, Vitis House, and Catering Works, they present The Art Inside the Bottle, together with NCMA curator Maya Brooks, assistant curator of contemporary art at the Vitis House, the owner and wine educator, Doreen Colandres. They will dive into identity, place, and power as themes that contextualize works of art and wine in specific and inspiring ways. Join us from 7 to 9 p.m. for a very special evening to explore history, tradition, and process behind winemaking and art making at the Art Inside the Bottle. You will foster new insights in an immersive sensory experience. 7 wines with custom-designed food pairings will be served as Maya speaks in person to share her expertise on 7 important works of art from the museum collection. Coming up in September, we have Brew and Chew. Food trucks and local breweries will be on hand for Brew and Chew, a series of family-friendly events at the North Carolina Railway Museum and New Hope Valley Railway that offers the rare opportunity to take a one-hour train ride through the woods. Food and beverages are allowed on the train, and or a 45-minute walking tour of the railway and museum, with the next available dates being scheduled for September 9th. They have another one October 27th, and the last one after that will be November 11th. Giddy up! The next Durham Central Park Food Truck Rodeo is Sunday, September 3rd, from 12 to 4 p.m., and the final rodeo of the season will be scheduled for October 29th. I will remind you about that one later. The 10th annual Sola Hot Mini 5K race will be held on Saturday, September 16th at Sola Coffee in North Raleigh. Thus far, the race has raised over $450,000 in the fight to end ALS, with a goal to raise $200,000 more this year. The USA Today Wine and Food Experience is coming to Raleigh on Saturday, September 16th, and will be held at the Dorothea Dix Park, Flowers Field. Attendees will explore a Raleigh culinary adventure that celebrates the best local food and drink, enjoy endless food and drink samples, attend demonstrations, and interact with exhibitors in a beautiful outdoor setting for a single admission price. The number one Oktoberfest is back on September 30th, and we want to party in Raleigh like no other. Grab your mug and get ready to hold them on high, hold them up high on this Raleigh Oktoberfest day. Are you ready? Join us on this epic celebration when we bring the bratwurst and brews to Raleigh. Raleigh is always great at this time of the year. The weather is cooling off and the leaves are starting to fall. And this is one of the most beautiful times of the year. And prepare yourself for the best Oktoberfest yet. You better come thirsty, ready to celebrate on their annual Raleigh Oktoberfest 2023. They say they cannot wait to turn the streets of Raleigh into gold and for you to enjoy a plethora of Raleigh's hottest bars with your ticket. For more information online, you may visit www.pubcrawls.com. And don't forget the NC State Fair coming October 12 through 22, the largest annual event in the state. The North Carolina State Fair draws 1 million visitors through the gates each October, marking what many consider to be the unofficial beginning of the fall season. 11 days of high-flying rides, deep-fried foods, live music, stunt shows, and other entertainment. 2023 marks the 155th year of this event. Can you believe that? Wow. Who knew? And finally, over in Raleigh, the International Wine Festival is scheduled for October 31st. And Acme is bringing back Salt and Smoke on Saturday, October 28th. We have a lot of food and drink opportunities coming up this month and next month. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Restaurant Review. We hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast. Be sure to listen next time, and please consider volunteering or donating to your local food bank so no one goes hungry. Keep eating local, folks. I'm Erica McCarty, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Restaurant Review is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.